Please welcome Kirk Henning.
They gave me an idea for a story. I didn't come prepared with one, but I'm a professional storyteller, so I think I can do this. So I'm going to do a little story threading. Beth mentioned that I'd done some theater stuff. I was a director for high school theater up in Cambria, Coast Union High School in Cambria. And there was one family, two of my former students who I directed, and their parents were, you know, when you're directing, when you're working with teenagers in a high school situation, there's some just really wacky parents out there, you know? I mean, it's just like wacky. And it's just such a relief when you find some normal parents that you know, they're the ones that come and help every time. And so this was Piers Lowski's. Maybe some of you know him up in Cambria. Barb and John and their two smart, creative, intelligent kids, Sophie and Van. And Van's the older, and Sophie's his younger sister. And I mostly had Sophie. I directed her in Oklahoma, which is, I think, still my favorite musical out of all of them that I've directed a dozen musicals. And so Sophie was in that one. And a couple others, and just a lovely family, great kids, and I related to them right away. John has made his living for the past 20 or now 30 some odd years as a salmon fisherman up in Alaska. He goes up in May every year and stays all summer on his boat, catches salmon, and then comes back, and that's how he's made his living all those years. And Barb was just the volunteer of all volunteers at the school. That's what she did. She just helped out. She was there all the time. And several years back, one of my uncles died, and he lived in Northridge with my aunt. He's my aunt's husband, my Auntie Carol, and all our families buried, a lot of our families buried in a cemetery in Chatsworth. So I drove down there to go to my uncle's funeral and showed up when everybody was surrounding the cemetery plot there, and my eyes were down, like pretty much the whole time, like people's eyes are down at funerals, and until it was over with, and I looked up, and there I saw John Piers Lowski. And I said, "John, what are you doing here? Why are you here?" And he said, "Well, I grew up across the street from your aunt and uncle." And I said, "And I never knew that, because we always went to their house when we were growing up. They had the swimming pool. I call it the watering hole of the family, where all the cheetahs and the lions and the Cape Buffalo gathered to refresh themselves during the summertime. He was older, though, so I guess we just never crossed paths, or maybe we did, and I just never knew. And it's, you know, such a coincidence. Now, my uncle's name is Uncle Wally, after he died, he gave his van, which is circa 1970, but he kept it in great condition, to the Piers Lowskis. And so they kept it for many years, and every time I saw them, we called it the Wally van. And they started selling at fishermen's markets, farmer's markets, starting selling their fish at farmer's markets, and they'd always bring the Wally van. And I'd say, "You got the Wally van again." John said, "Yep, it's getting holes in the top, and I don't know how much longer it's going to last, but yep, we got the Wally van." I'd see it driving around town and say, "Well, there's the Wally van." And finally, it just got so decrepit that one time I showed up at one of the farmer's markets and the Wally van wasn't there anymore. And I said, "Well, where's the Wally van?" They said, "Well, out with the old. We finally had to get rid of the Wally van." Now, I've had, I'd consider two uncles in my life. Now, I've got some kind of tangential uncles. I have, like, my mom had a half-brother that was maybe an uncle unofficially. I never really knew him. And some other step-uncles and all that. But my two uncles, when I think of my uncles, were my dad's brother, Uncle Frank, and my aunt's husband, Uncle Wally. Now, when you're a boy growing up, coming of age, for a lot of boys, uncles are real important. In a lot of cultures, I've heard, like in Native American cultures, it's the uncles that help the young man go through coming of age. The uncles take them on their spirit quest, and it's because the relationship between the father and the son is just too close, and there's just too much tension there, and there needs to be another male presence that doesn't have that energy there in order to teach the young man the ways of the world and how to become a man and so on and so forth. Well, I didn't go on a spirit quest with my uncles. It was a different situation, but they were a different presence. Now, the three of them together, my dad and my uncle and my two uncles, Uncle Wally and Uncle Frank, were like the three caballeros. That's where I learned about telling dirty jokes. And that's where I learned about, you know, how you drink like a man. And that's how I learned about making fun of other people, because deep down they were just prejudiced and racist, and they just told inappropriate jokes right and left and then just howled with laughter every time. So that was their version of teaching me how to be a man. My uncle Wally was the one that was considered the successful one. They had a swimming pool in Northridge. They had a lot of money. My other uncle, my dad's brother, my Uncle Frank, was the black sheep of the family, kind of. He was pretty randy. He had several wives and was a vagabond, was here and there, always trying to start a business and so on and so forth. But I always remember being with him and with my dad and just feeling a certain comfort in that bubble of masculinity there. There was something different that I felt when I was with them that I didn't feel in other places. I remember going to a Rams game with them when I was a kid, and we were driving back, and there's a lot of traffic in LA, and I just had to go to the bathroom really bad, super bad, and they were just up front just telling dirty jokes to each other, and, hey, Kirk, did you hear this one? And finally I said, I can't take it anymore, I gotta go, and my uncle handed me an empty beer can and passed it back to me. And so it was that kind of deal. You know, that's the coming of age that I experienced. There's one other thing about the Pierzlowskis and my uncle Wally that I want to tell. So John grew up across the street from my Uncle Wally, and then about a year later, I took some kids up to San Francisco to see a professional version of Oklahoma, and I was talking to Barb Pierzlowski, and she was saying, oh, we're having Thanksgiving this year at my great aunt's house. And I said, oh, where she live? And oh, in the Bay Area. I said, oh, where? In Menlo Park. I said, oh, well, that's where my mom and stepdad live, and where at? Flood Circle. Well, that's where my mom and stepdad live. What address? 23 Flood. That's where we live. So after that, we were cousins forever. So anyway, that's a little sidebar. So my Uncle Frank died last weekend, my dad told me. And so we're going to the funeral this coming Saturday. It's hard to reconcile a love for these two men, really, that had such an important part of my lives, with the inappropriateness of their thoughts and the prejudice and the racism, and it's just a constant battle I think a lot of us go through in our relationships. We're always encountering people that are close to us, but at the same time, we wouldn't hang out with them if they weren't our relatives. So there's a big part of me that appreciates my Uncle Frank, but there's also a big part of me that thinks, you know, that thinking has got to go away. It's just we got to get rid of that thinking on all levels. And so, anyway, that's the story of my uncles that I just threw in there. So thanks a lot, everybody.